Thank you very much, Raju. Thank you. All right. Brethren, good morning. Oh, good evening, I'm sorry. It's morning in the Philippines, so. All right. Well, brethren, Christian greetings to all of you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, thank you so much for coming this evening. We are happy to meet you all. We are so glad. Also to see again our dear brother Joe, and of course our brother Dan Torres. We first met them in 2005 at the lectures in Bowling Green, Kentucky. However, we miss this evening our brother Dan Torres as he is out of town. But of course our prayers are also goes with him. Well, we are so thankful to God that He gave us this opportunity to come again and visit your great country. And we are so thankful that God gave us this opportunity to come again and to be with you also here at Washington area. We thank the brethren at Blackfoot, Idaho, who invited me to come and preach in the gospel meeting. They paid our tickets. Of course, further thanks to Brother Joe, who patiently came over and picked up us at the airport there in Seattle, Tacoma, and also for providing us a place to stay, including all this cooking and other things that he's providing us so graciously at the house. Thank you so much, brother. And for that wonderful hospitality. Of course, we truly miss our sister Debbie, but she's in our prayers too. My sincere thanks to the good elders. Brother, try to memorize the name, Brother Rick, Brother Morris, and of course, Brother Joe. For giving this time and opportunity to that you give me to preach this evening. I thank you all for coming, especially for those who came from other places, like our brother from Canada, Brother George and Sister Marietta Aston. We have been corresponding with them, and we also really want to meet them because they are also very interested in the Philippine work. And so we are so happy to meet you, Brother George and Sister Marietta. Oh, deep in our hearts, we are so thankful, you know. Well, brethren, before I will read our text this evening, allow me to give you a short information about our family and the work in the Philippines. And please remember that we came from the Philippines and not from the Philistines. So we are not your enemies. All right, maybe you ask, where in the Philippines? And right there, you can see the North America, South America, Australia, and Europe there. I can see the India, maybe somewhere over there. Yeah. But Philippines is right there, very small. And then the Philippines has three, composed of three bigger islands. Well, it has lots of islands, but there are three bigger islands. We call the Luzon, Luzon, and the Visayan Island is far, and we have the Mindanao area. So here is north, and here is south. And then in the northern part, you can see the Cagayan province, and the nearby provinces, Abela, Cagayan, and Kalinga. But actually, five provinces compose what we call Cagayan Valley area, the Cagayan Valley area. And I marked this round red here to show to you where our radio program is reaching. I mean, it's really reaching far and wide, up to this province here, and up to this side of the big, these are big mountains here, right here, and this is the sea, you know. And there are People also live here. It's also a populated area, but there is no other means of transportation to go there than to go around. You must go to the edge there and take a small boat, you know, and take 8 to 13 hours by boat to reach this place. If it is by plane, it's only 30 minutes, but it's only a 6-seater plane like that. So I just want to show you our area and the area also that our radio program is reaching. That's besides our TV program that was reaching the whole city of Tuguegarao and the suburbs where that cable master system has the connection. And what should I say there? Tuguegarao City is the capital of the province of Cagayan. And the whole area is composing of about 2 to 3 million people. The whole area. Right, that's the family that we have. Brother Joe said a while ago that Sister Tess and I have only 7 children, and he's right. In fact, we have 9, but 2 died when they were babies. Now we have only 7. And 6 of them are now married, and only the youngest one is not. Well, it's so dark there, but I hope you can recognize those faces there. And here is our sons. Well, that's the youngest one. The youngest one there, the smart. Our son-in-law married our youngest daughter. This is Jane, the one who lost his leg, you know, because of cancer of the muscle. But he's now also preaching the gospel. And this is Ryan, our son-in-law from Sandusky, Michigan. And that's Teddy Boy, our youngest one, that is the tallest among us. So he's 20 years old, and that's Junior, and this is Jerome. Alright, that's our car that we are filling every time we go and preach. And sometimes 9 to 13 people, 11 people hop in there and we go preach. And that's our church building. And a picture of our April 17th worship this year. And then, just to give you some idea where we are bringing the gospel of Christ to the farmers, that's how they do. You plow the, that's how they do, to plow, prepare the soil, and then after uprooting the young rice, you know, they will replant as they are doing here right now. And then after replanting, you have to wait for 3 months. Then harvest time comes, like that. Alright, and then also bringing the gospel to the inmates in prisons. And also bringing to the gospel in the mountains with difficult roads. Sometimes it's really hard, you know. There are times that we cannot pass, we have to walk. It's hard, but there are many people who are waiting for us on the other side, so we have to. And just some of what we are passing. And some situations when we preach the truth in love, you know, you maybe notice this. It's too hard. But now it's so cold here, so very different world. But still, you know, we enjoy. And then, just to show you, hungry souls love to hear the gospel of Christ. Sometimes there are not enough rooms, no chairs, people are standing. This actually is really under the sun, direct heat under the sun. It was only last May 8th. When we preach in this new place, many of them are listening our radio program and they invited us to go. And we baptized 9 on that day, and that starts a new congregation to that place near the Sierra Madre Mountains. Alright, And then children love to hear also the story about Jesus and Sister Tess and her daughters. Some of the sisters are really doing also the job teaching children. In fact, in the class alone of our Sister Tess, we baptized older children already, because they were they learned a lot already since they were attending the children's class, and then they decided to be baptized because they are already grown, so it helps a lot. But my point here is children there love to hear stories about Jesus, and that's why we keep on encouraging sisters here in America, if you have time to come, please come. I keep on telling to Brother Ron Halbrook, will you please bring Sister Donna? And I said, I did, but she can fly with me in the plane. So we are still praying that maybe there will be some sisters over here to come also and help us, you know, and join us in doing all this work for the Lord. Who knows? But maybe some of you here at Mount Baker can come someday. I have been trying to get Brother Joe, and I hope he will fulfill his promise. He said, I will come in due time. He said, so I don't know when that due time is, but I hope that he can come, and maybe some of you can come, dear friend. All right. And precious souls, obeying the gospel. You know, we are preaching the gospel. We are preaching the power of God. And when we preach that, the Spirit of the Lord works through that word, and precious souls obey the gospel. Sometimes you are attacked by some other fellow brethren by saying that, oh, how come that you can always baptize people? And our answer that to that is, because you are preaching the gospel. And the gospel is the power of God to save mankind, Romans 1:16. And that's maybe the only answer we can. As long as we are preaching the gospel, we are so happy that there are precious souls who are responding and obeying the gospel. These are some. These are just some. All right. In other activities, you can see these things. What are these things? These are times of distribution of benevolence. I mean, times comes when we are hit by strong typhoons and other calamities, you know, and sometimes even we are not yet telling to brethren here in the U.S., there are already those of you here are saying, hey, Rudy, we read in the paper, we have seen you in the news, and maybe this could help our needy brethren. And wow, we are so thankful, brethren. And you can see here, we are buying sacks of rice, you know, dividing in some other places like that. And if it is clothing, we are dividing like that, sorting. And then if it is medicines, we are just dividing to what the piece we have, you know, just to share with anyone, brethren that are in need. It's very hard to buy medicines, especially to brethren in the remote areas, despite that they have no money. It's very the drug store is far, and everything is hard to them. So they are very grateful when we have medicines like this that we can share. So these are just sample, brethren. And then that's rice, then that's clothing, and this is medicine. All right, many more. But we have no more time, so if you have your Bible, I think, please open now with me, because it's now 7:30. All right, please open with me your Bible in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 30 and 31. It's a very familiar verse to all of us. The verse says, then Jesus said to the Jews which believe on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So our topic this morning is from the verse that says, let's know the truth. Let's know the truth. Let's know the truth about God, number one. And let's know the truth about the Church of Christ. And number three, let's know the truth about the denominations. Number four, it's with a thought about the coming of the Lord. And number five, this know the truth about hell. And number six, let's know the truth about heaven. Well, so you can see, let's know the truth about six things. About God, about the church of Christ, about the denominations, the coming of the Lord, hell and heaven. But maybe others will say, oh, I know those things already. But I'll go with Peter. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them. That's the point that I want to stress out. Though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. In verse 13, ye, I think, it need, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So I hope you can understand me. Let's go now. The truth about God. First point, the truth about God. The Bible teaches us that there is God. In Acts chapter 17, in verse 24, you have your Bible, you can follow me. But the verse says, God that made the world and all things therein, saying that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. So again, I'm just reminding you, the Bible tells us that there is God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So again, there is God who made all things, who created all things, and God is giving us richly all the things that we enjoy is there. Everything that we have is from Him. Now again, the Bible teaches us that in that God, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, tells us that there is a Father, and mention also about Son and about the Holy Spirit. The verse says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So we can notice the three things there. I mean, personalities: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And again, the Bible teaches us that there is only one God. We are not teaching that there are three gods in mentioning the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, the fact is, the Father is God, according to John 17, verse 3. And also the Son is God, according to 1 John 5, 20. And the Holy Spirit is God, according to 5, 3, 5. Again, we are not teaching that there are three gods. We are teaching that that the Father is God. And we are teaching, as the Bible teaches, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. So how many gods? Three, one. Well, for there are three. 1 John 5:7. That they record in heaven. The Father, the Word, this is the Son, John chapter 1. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So, I hope this helps us, dear friend. In Mark chapter 12, verse 32, tells us there is only one God, not three. The verse says, and the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. All right. We'll continue to learn the truth as the Bible teaches us that this God sent His Son into the world in the fullness of time. In Galatians chapter 4, it says, God sent His Son into the world. When? In the fullness of time. Meaning it was not an accident when God sent His Son into the world. When Galatians 4:4 said, in the fullness of time, it helped us to understand that this is based upon the will plan laid by God in the foundation of the world. And John 3:16 reminds us about this fact. And many of you can memorize the verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only forgotten Son. Well, what forgotten? Many reasons, but the verse says only begotten Son. But many forgot already. And that's why sometimes there is a message in there, many forgot the Lord and the real meaning of His coming. So instead of begotten Son, forgotten Son. But the verse says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, remember the word, that's including here, our nation, and the whole world. And that coming of the Lord, or by giving His Son, by giving His Son, as we can read in John 3:16, we can analyze, we can realize that that is the signature of God's love to the world. When He allowed His Son, when He gave His Son, He signed a true love for the world. So, because of that, He has the right to say, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 5, hear ye Him. The verse says, while He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye Him. So, again, that God sent His Son into the world, and He said, hear ye Him, He is My Son, you listen unto Him. And let's go to number two, the truth about the Church of Christ. After that God sent His Son into the world, and He said, Matthew 17:5, you listen, you hear Him. Now we have the question, what did Jesus say? So that we can hear, we can listen. And we have Matthew chapter 16 verse 18, wherein we can read simply, Jesus promised, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, no question about that, it's very clear that Christ said, I will build My church. Well, Paul believed in that. In Romans 16:16, he said that the churches of Christ salute you. So, to believe that there is a church of Christ that built by Jesus Christ. Now, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, the Lord confirmed that He has the authority to build His church. As He said, all authority or all power has given unto Me. And to make it short, that when the church of the Lord was built by Him, no doubt, on 33 AD, He was crucified, and as planned, as it has been first prophesied, everything was fulfilled in the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2, we know that the priest of the Jews were there, and Peter stood up, and he preached, and people were asked, or they asked him, what shall we do? And we know in verse 41, he said that verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And in verse 41, we can read that 3,000 were baptized. So, there is a church of Christ, And that year we know that it was 33 AD. The body of Christ, the kingdom of Christ, the household of God has been existing. And then we all know that the church is composed of saints. The church is composed of men and women who obey the gospel of Christ. They were called saints. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 tells us that saints means that we are called by God to be saints. And also members of the Lord's church or the body, kingdom of Christ, were called Christians. And we know that verse, 1 Corinthians, Acts 11:26. And also members of the church were called priests. And we are the work of the priest, offering sacrifices to God. And we, as members, were commanded by God to offer our body as a living sacrifice. Members of the church were called children of God. And if it's children of God, God is our Father. And more, many more good things that has been said by the Bible when we are Christians, that numbered to those who compose the church, the Lord's church. And we are so thankful. If it's not this, brethren, we are not here this evening. I am not here, and maybe we did not meet each other. But because of this great love of our great love, great God, and by His sending His Son Jesus to stage to build this spiritual family, I don't know, I doubt if we have this fellowship with Him. So we are thankful, and this is why we keep on worshiping, praising, magnifying our God, and the sacrifices of our Lord Jesus, who gave His life for us. But you know what? God said, you hear Him. But it's a sad. The world is not paying attention. They are not listening Christ. So we'll study now about the denominations. Third point. I will not tire you listening. Look at that. God sent His Son, and Jesus, well, He said, hear Him, and Jesus said, I will build my church. So there is a church. One more thing to satisfy us about the church. It is the church that built by His blood. In Acts 20:28, the church of God that He purchased by His own blood, with His own blood. And it's singular. But we know that after that the Bible closed, about 96 AD, after the writing of the book of Revelation, history tells us that on 606 AD, it's very clear in history, Roman Catholic was insisted, and the first pope was installed, Pope Boniface III. And then that was followed, well, many more, but one of those well-known is the Islam, the Muslim, that was started in 622. And then many more, but in 1520 we have this Lutheran church by Martin Luther. In 1534 we have this Episcopalian church. And in 1536 the Presbyterian church was established. In 1607 the first Baptist church was recorded. And in 1739 the Methodist church started. In 1830, the Church of the Lord, the Mormons, their modern name now is Church of Jesus Christ on the Latter-day Saints, right? And in 1830, history tells us that Seventh-day Adventist was also existed. 1872, the Jehovah's Witnesses. 1886, the Church of God worldwide. 1897, the Christian Missionary Alliance. In 1914, in the Philippines, one of the strongest religion there now, the Iglesia Ni Cristo, an English Church of Christ. But they teach that Christ is not God. You know, they don't believe in the deity of Christ. Here comes 1917, the Pentecostal Church of Christ was established. 1968, the Wesleyan Church, my parents were former strong members of this group, the Wesleyan Church. And then many more, like the Old Pot Church, the Bell Church. That's right. Brethren, you are not mistaken of what I have said. Bell Church. Bell Church. So there is a Bell Church. Yes, there is a Bell Church. And in Bible City, from one place there called Trinidad, you go up and it will catch your eyes. We'll come to the Bell Church. Bell Church. What they know about Bell is it gives sound. Tang, tang, patang. Now there is a Bell Church. I don't know how, you know, it's okay. Sometimes it's hard to explain, but there is. And it's worth a turn to explain, you know. But we know that the Bible is not as bad. The Kingdom of God Church. This Kingdom of God Church now started in Davao. And their chairman claimed that he is the Son of God, the appointed Son of God, you know. And they are progressing. But like others, he is there on TV, on radio, in every place, very strong, preaching, saying that he is the appointed Son of God, that if we don't believe in him, we all will go to hell. So, what I'm trying to say, brethren, is the encyclopedia and all these modern books tells us that as of this year, 2011, there are more than 40,000 religions now in the world. In the world. But what I'm trying to tell you is, when Christ said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, again, it's very easy to understand. There is only one church, one family of God, one body of Christ, and one kingdom of Christ. So, denominations is not a part of the Lord's church. That's my point. But then, you know, in point number four that we have, the Bible tells us about the coming of the Lord. In John chapter 14, from verse 1 to 3, many of you maybe can memorize, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I have told you, I'll go and prepare a place for you. And if I will go and prepare a place for you, what did he say? I will come again to take you with me. That where I am, there you may be also. So here is the word of Jesus. He promised to come again. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, we can read that Paul was describing of this coming of the Lord. For he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So there is a promise of Christ that he will come again. There are no other verses to prove and to tell us, to confirm us that he is coming again. But sometimes in the Philippines, there are questions that will raise, Brother Rudy, is it true that Christ will now come on May 21? Who said that? My pastor. And I said, well, if you can show me the scriptures, then we need to go around and preach the doctrine. But if it's not in the Bible, then 1 Timothy 4:1, it's, I'm sure, doctrine of the devil, and he will get mad at us, you know. But what we are talking about is, brethren, Jesus promised that he will come again. Only the time we do not know. Only God knows. And when these people will stay a day like that, then we know that they are not with us. And one thing that we have to battle, because that's not what the Lord tells us to do. And when Jesus said, I will come again to take you with me, he said that. So me means he will come to take his body, his kingdom, his family, his church. that composed of men and women who obey the gospel of Christ, whatever race, as long as he is faithful and maintaining his Christian life as a member of the Lord's church, the Blood-Bought church, then when he comes, we have the assurance of Romans 8:1 and other passages. And Romans 8:1 says, wherefore, there is no more condemnation those that are in Christ. And in Ephesians 5:3, we have the verse that wherein tells us that for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. He is the Savior of the church. He is the Savior of his kingdom. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24, I know many of you can memorize this also, but we will read the verse wherein Paul said, then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. The word when he shall have delivered up the kingdom. He's coming to take his kingdom, the church, his family, and then bring it to heaven. So we are so thankful for the assurance. There are many more on that, but I just want to assure you that there is an assurance of salvation to those who will obey and hear Christ, because when he comes, he will come to take them. Let's move for the next point about hell. It's a sad that there are now those who are teaching that hell is not in, is not really a real place of destruction or torment or things like that. But we know the Bible tells us in Mark 9:43 that hell is fire, torment is there, Revelation chapter 14, verse 11, and it's forever in Matthew chapter 25, 46. And destruction is there, 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9, and both the soul and the body. We are talking about a place where there will be eternal punishment for the soul that will disobey, who will not pay attention to the Son of God. And it's real. It's just not only in imagination, as we say, or something like, you know, just will just vanish away. That's not the soul. That's not the situation. In short, there is hell, and there is that is a fact. And hell is a place of torment for the souls or every souls that will disobey God, that who will not abide in his doctrine, in his teachings. But then, besides hell, we are so thankful. The Bible tells us also about heaven. And we all know that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. In Matthew chapter 24, 25 verse 34. We all know, we can read that. But besides that, we have also Revelation chapter 15, verse 2 and 3. Not only heaven is a prepared place, but as described here in Revelation chapter 15, allow me to read the verse. If you have your Bible, read with me verse 2 and 3. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his enemies, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the arts of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. If we will analyze these verses, it will help us to understand that heaven is a prepared place for victorious people. Victorious means every member of the church
that can overcome every trial sa buhay. That can overcome every temptation, every torment, everything that he will suffer in Christ or for Christ's sake. And, oh, it really refreshes us when we say, oh, there is a waiting reward for the victorious people, victorious God's people like that, and it's in heaven. Also, Revelation 24, verse 4, many of us familiar with the verse, that in the place, number 9. And in 21, verse 4, it tells us that all things are passed away. And the verse says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So, well, up to verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears, in verse 4, through their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. For the former things are passed away. Well, I hope the lesson can help us all to understand. It's simple. We started from the teaching of the Bible that there is God who created us and providing all the things that we need each day, the things that we enjoy each day. And not only that, we see how he made this wonderful way of salvation, that even he created man upright, but man become wicked and subject for hell, but the unfathomable love of God clearly seen when he said, in the fullness of time he sent his only begotten son. So we are so thankful for this, and again, this is the reason why we are sacrificing, we are serving him. That's why we obey the gospel. We understand this. We don't want to go to hell. We want to go to heaven. And this is why we are here this evening, to continue and faithfully serve him at all costs, in everything we can, up to the utmost of, or even to the last of our breath. And with all these promises of God, it always touches our hearts if we can understand. Why? It is because heaven that we are dreaming from. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There you go. In the fullness of time. You understand? Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Oh, we thank God for that. And sometimes we complain. I don't know here, but in the Philippines, we often hear many complaints of sufferings and things like that. Especially when these calamities of life will come, you know. But we are so thankful. And we always go with Apostle Paul in Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Not then. In us. And brethren, how can we escape not to, you know, imagine that wonderful day when Christ will come? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be put up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus And thus we shall always be with the Lord. We shall always be with the Lord. And 22 verse 3 of Revelation, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be their foreheads, in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Brethren in this earth, whether you are an American or a Filipino or what race, we cannot reign here forever. We are surrounded with many hardships and obstacles of life, you know. But sometimes we can, we are thinking that we cannot afford to carry them more. But again, we are so thankful for all these words of our Lord, especially when he said, I'll be with you till the end of time. The purpose of this lesson, brethren, is just to simply present you and encourage you as members of the Lord's church why we need to stop. There is a word of the Apostle Paul, Romans 8:35, who will separate us from the love of Christ. It is the hardship. Is it all these things? But Paul said no. And that should be our desire for all of us. And I know our Lord is watching us, and he knows our hearts. He knows our desires, and he knows our every moment plans in our lives. And most especially, he knows that we all desire to reach heaven someday. And with all these promises of God, brethren, we can make it. And we are so thankful that we can praise others. You brethren here at Mount Baker, we are so thankful because we know we are very far over there, and even in India or in other parts of the world, but you are praying for us. Why do I know? Because we are also praying for all of you here. We are praying with others. And that hope we can continue to be stand up. Even there are so many problems of life. But as Jesus said, I'll be with you till the end of time. So, again, I'm reminding you our lesson. We studied the truth about God and about the Word, about the Church of Christ, about the denominations, and about the coming of the Lord, about hell and about heaven. Thanks so much for listening. In closing, if we have any friends here who are not yet a Christian, I don't believe you want to go to heaven. I believe you want to go to heaven. We invite you to come to Jesus now. Jesus said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And as Christians, again, brethren, let's continue to encourage each other, stand up, and be strong. And someday, all of us will be gathered in the front of the throne of our living God, and we will be with him forever and ever. Thank you so much. If you can stand up and sing a song for that invitation, remain. Thank you so much, brethren.